The playoffs begin today. We're going to talk about how the Celtics can win or lose this series against the 76ers on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go! Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the Seas, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, happy Monday and happy playoffs. This is John Corrales of MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, Monday through Friday, especially now through the playoffs. This is going to be a big time. The Celtics, hopefully, are going to make a big run, but they have to get through the 76ers, and it's not going to be easy. I'm going to talk about that. Segment 2 and 3 are going to be how the Celtics win the series, and how the Celtics lose the series. Segment 1, going to be news of the day, a couple of things that came out of Celtics practice over the weekend. I want to remind everybody to please buy my book, pre-order the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, the best players at each position for the Seas. Search for that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent booksellers, wherever you buy your books, or search for my name. Buy that book. It's going to drop in December. It's going to be a great gift for the holidays or whatever. It's going to be a great gift or something that you can read. I hope you enjoy it. Pre-order it now. It's available. So let's start here. Let's get the news of the day out of the way. The first big story is Romeo Langford, and we're looking at Romeo Langford as a potential rotation player, a potential replacement for Gordon Hayward whenever he leaves the bubble to go for the birth of his son. Romeo Langford fell on Thursday and hurt his wrist. And we knew on Thursday that he hurt his wrist, and it was just called a sprain at the time. But over the weekend, we learned that he actually tore ligaments. Now, he told Gary Washburn of the Globe that it still doesn't feel like anything worse than a sprain, but he knows that the MRI revealed the torn ligaments. He knows that he's going to need surgery, but on Sunday, he practiced and fully participated, and Brad Stevens said he felt fine, and he wore a light guard on his wrist, like whatever wrap or whatever it was to stabilize the wrist. He apparently went through that and was fine. I don't want to say it's a big deal, because we're still not 100% sure of how much he was going to play, but that's one more option. That's one more guy that they could have. And as we look at the Celtics and the playoffs and their series against the Sixers, that option of Romeo Langford could come in handy, because he's tall, he's got length, he's shown the ability to defend at an NBA level. The thing that the Sixers have on the Celtics is size and length. And especially on the perimeter, if the Celtics are looking for a big or a long player to guard on the perimeter while somebody's on the bench, Langford could be an option for short stretches. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Romeo Langford's going to play 30 minutes against the Sixers. That's just not going to happen. But for 5 minutes, especially if there's foul trouble or an injury, it's a good option to have. And the good news out of this weekend is that it seems like that injury is something he's going to be able to play through, and he'll have to go through and get his surgery whenever the season is over and in that very limited offseason. But his ability to play gives the Celtics at least an option. It's an important option, and I think that it's good news, not only for the Celtics, but for him. Because every time along the way this season, when he's finally had the opportunity to get out there and earn some minutes, some kind of injury stopped him along the way. And that has to be frustrating. That has to piss him off. Like, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine every opportunity as a rookie getting derailed by whatever it was. It was a groin, a knee, whatever it was. It was something. I'm happy that he can at least play through this and make some sort of impact. Now, I don't know how that's going to impact his jump shot, but if he feels like he's okay and it doesn't feel that bad, then maybe it won't impact the jumper. And frankly, that's not something that's going to be immensely important for the Celtics, but just having him as a defensive option is going to be great. He's listed as questionable for game one. Let's see how that goes. Right now, it seems like maybe disaster averted for Romeo. And any little option that you can get for the playoffs is good. Even if he doesn't play, having him available is something that could help. The other thing from this weekend, just I want to plug my story on Mass Live about Robert Williams and his connection with Marcus Smart. I think it's super interesting that once he gets in the game, he comes in with Marcus Smart and they have an immediate connection. I thought it was really cool that 36% of his baskets were assisted by number 36, Marcus Smart. That was kind of a fun little quirk. And of Marcus Smart's assists, half of those assists were alley-oops. And you can just see it out there that they have this connection. And Marcus Smart just waits. And the second he can draw a guy in, he lobs it up to Marcus Smart, lobs it up to Robert Williams. But I think that Robert Williams said the exact perfect thing in his availability on Sunday, that it starts on the defensive end, and that when he looks at Marcus Smart, he said basically, Marcus Smart's intensity makes me need to raise my intensity on defense. That's just a perfect thing to say. It's a perfect encapsulation of what Marcus Smart does and who he is on the floor. And it is really cool for Robert Williams to kind of highlight that, appreciate that, and kind of show that he's got that inspiration for what Marcus Smart brings. So those are a couple of things here as far as this weekend, things that I thought were interesting, news items, whatever. Go to masslive.com/Celtics for my coverage and Tom Westerholm's coverage of the Boston Celtics. It's going to be very comprehensive. I hope you enjoy that coverage there. Give that a follow, bookmark it, whatever. Obviously, you can follow me on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John. I'll be tweeting everything out. In the meantime, when we return, segments 2 and 3, how the Celtics can win, how the Celtics can lose. The first round of the NBA playoffs begin today, Monday. It's very exciting. This rivalry is going to be fun. And there are ways the Celtics can lose. You cannot lose if you use DoorDash. It doesn't matter whether you want Chinese or someone else in the room wants pizza. No matter what anybody's craving, there's something for everyone on DoorDash. It's the app that brings you the food that you're craving right now and to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be there safely left outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. It's very important. And with over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia that you can support your local go-tos or choose from your local favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Even if you can't go in, you can open the DoorDash app and select your favorite local restaurant. Your food will be left at your door. Right now, Locked On Celtics listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter LOCKEDONNBA as the promo code. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can even follow us on Spotify. Have you heard? The Boston Celtics are playing the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round of the NBA playoffs beginning today. How do the Celtics win this series? I think it's very important that we look at this critically and understand that as much as people are picking the Celtics and many people are picking them to win easily, it's not going to be easy. They have, obviously, Joel Embiid. They have shooters that, in general, have not had good shooting years, but also can have big shooting performances. So the Celtics can win this series, and I think can win this series in six. Here's how you do it. First, I think the most important thing is to target Embiid on the defensive end. And that means burning him out. And I talked a little bit about this when we had the Rain and Jays reunion, and we kind of previewed the Sixers series. But the more I thought about it over the weekend, the more I am convinced that this is the right way to do this. That you put Embiid in pick and roll situations over and over and over again. There's a lot of talk about, do you start Cantor on Embiid for defensive purposes? And I don't think that's necessarily the right way to go. I've come to the conclusion that Daniel Theis is going to be the better way to defend Joel Embiid, and you do that by defending him while he's on defense. And this is a concept that I'll talk about a lot. It's a concept that I fully believe in, especially when it comes with Embiid and his notorious kind of lack of conditioning. He's not going to be a guy who, you know, sprints through the tape at the end of the race, so to speak. So he's a monster to defend. Like, you can't defend him when he's posting up. There's no way Daniel Theis can defend him just on the defensive blocks. But when you put him in a pick and roll, if he's defending Daniel Theis and you put him in a pick and roll, then you have to drive and kick it out to Theis. And if Theis can hit a couple of shots, that might be the most important thing that the Celtics can do early. Get Daniel Theis a couple of shots early. If he can hit a couple of shots, then the Sixers are scrambling. Because then Embiid has to make a decision. You can play him in drop coverage, much like the Bucks do with Brook Lopez. You can try to drop him close to the basket and say, fine, I dare you to hit those shots. Theis can hit those shots. If Daniel Theis can hit a couple of shots, then that's going to force Embiid to do something. Embiid's going to have to react. And the more you can put Embiid in position to pop out to cover Theis and drive, I mean, he's the only defender that they have to protect the rim. Brett Brown has said multiple times that without Ben Simmons, they're going to have to rely heavily on Embiid to protect the rim. If they can find a way to draw Embiid out, then he's going to be scrambling from one spot to another on the floor, and that's going to take a lot of energy. And like I said, he only has a limited amount of energy to give. So I think it's important to make him work as hard as possible on the defensive end, because even though he's going to have his early opportunities, he's going to score. There's nothing you can do to stop Embiid. You just let that happen and hope that by making him defend like crazy and pull him in a bunch of different directions, that's going to sap his energy. And by the end of the game, he's not going to have enough to close the game out. And so I've talked about this a lot. Don't overreact to Joel Embiid. Don't overreact if he's drop-stepping on Daniel Tice, if he's burning Daniel Tice. The most important thing that Daniel Tice can do is not get into foul trouble. And I know war on Tice, that's not going to be easy, but I think that's the strategy. Beyond Embiid, what happens with the main Celtics guys on the perimeter? How can the main Celtics guys on the perimeter beat the 76ers? Been thinking a lot about this. The Sixers not only don't have Ben Simmons, they don't have Glenn Robinson. And that's another loss because he's a 3-and-D guy. And I think as we've seen with the Celtics, and we've seen it a lot, the loss of a main player can be absorbed to some degree with the bench. So, okay, Ben Simmons is out. That's obviously going to hurt the Sixers defensively because he's their best defensive player. But Matisse Thybulle is also a pretty damn good defensive player, even as a rookie. You put him in the starting lineup, which Brett Brown did on Sunday, kind of hint that they were talking about it. I think they're going to do it. I think that puts the Sixers in a position where, okay, you got Thybulle on Jason Tatum or whomever, but then who's behind Matisse Thybulle on the depth chart? Who's going to go out there and check one of the Celtics' wings? You're really running thin on the perimeter. And I think the Celtics only need to play Philly tight to start. And I'm leaning towards this being a big Gordon Hayward series where Gordon Hayward is the first sub out. Thybulle is starting. He comes out. You put Gordon Hayward in. And if Hayward comes in when Thybulle is out and he's playing against weaker defenders, then the Hayward that we saw playing like Utah Hayward can go off. I think where the Celtics can make their real big push is when Embiid is off the floor and when Thybulle is off the floor. And if they're off the floor at the same time, the Celtics, I think we can look at this game one and say, oh, this is close. It's, 23-20 Celtics, and then those guys leave the floor, and all of a sudden, somewhere early in the second quarter, it becomes 39-22 Celtics. And the Celtics going to run that's probably fueled by Hayward and whomever else he's on the floor with, some combination of one of the other wings. But what they're going to they can't play Thybulle 48 minutes. They certainly can't play Joel Embiid 48 minutes. It's those non-Embiid, non-Thybulle minutes that the Celtics are going to win. And at the end of the game, if the Celtics win by 15 points, it's going to be because of those minutes. And it's going to be a hard-fought 15-point win, but I think the Celtics can definitely make that happen. The loss of Robinson hurts Philly, I think, a lot. Obviously, like, everybody's talking about the Simmons injury. The Robinson injury saps their depth as with wing defenders. And against the Celtics, that's going to be where the Celtics really take off. And if the Celtics stay home on shooters, once Embiid gives the ball up and they try to make other passes and get the ball back in, I think the Celtics defense can get on into transition. I think they can build small leads while those guys are in, and then build big leads once Embiid and Thibault and their main guys are out. So that's how I think the Celtics can win the series. How can they lose the series? We'll talk about that in a moment. I've talked to you guys about Built Bar a ton. I have finally found the bar that beats the Built Bar that I've loved all this time. And it's Built Bar because they came back with a new formula, a new taste, a new bar that even improves that Built Bar that I've loved and that I've bought multiple times. This new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser than the old ones. There's 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. The 12 original flavors that we love, including things like peanut butter and banana bread and mint brownie and salted caramel, which is awesome. They're all still covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Are you a health conscious guy like me? Built Bars are for you. They can help you if you're trying to lose or maintain weight while still making you feel like you're indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for keto diets. Okay, go ahead and check their label against the other labels that are out there, and you'll see that Built Bar is not only the best tasting bar, but the best bar for you if you're going to choose a protein bar. Now, if you've used the promo code LOCKEDON before, you can use it again because Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. You can get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. So get there now. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, you can use it again, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at LOCKEDON Celtics on Instagram. Very few people expect the Philadelphia 76ers to win this series because not only are they missing Ben Simmons, like I said, they're missing Glenn Robinson, they're having problems in general, and they've just not looked particularly great in general. However, taking Simmons away, I really do believe unlocks something for the Sixers offensively. And the Celtics, if they're going to win this series, they have to respect that. Philly is going to win this series if their offense outscores Boston. Now, I don't think that that's going to happen because the Celtics at their best, and we've seen them at their best, during their winning streak, scored 122 points in a few straight games and 149 points in one of those games. They have one of the best offenses of the bubble. The Sixers, though, have a pretty damn good offense themselves when you take Simmons out, and this is just a half-court offense. They can work the ball through Embiid. Embiid is energized by this. This is an important point, that Joel Embiid's mental state is one of the keys to their success. I've seen it with my own two eyes. Philly wins, and he's not happy because he doesn't like how he was used or his performance in that game. So his focus, now that, he is the focus, is going to be a major point here. That he knows that he has to be the guy that shoots the ball all the time. And that's a big deal for him. And only when he decides to pass out to shooters does he give up the ball. So the Celtics have to respect the other shooters on the floor. They absolutely cannot come in and be cocky or feel like they've got this, or feel like they, just by walking on the floor, because of the situation, that they're better than the Sixers. Because the Sixers are still scary. With that offense, with Embiid, working it through him, having him kick it out, especially if the Celtics decide to send double teams. Because if the Sixers start Matisse Thybulle, the Celtics, I guarantee you, will start doubling off of Thybulle, because he's been an up and down shooter. He's been great shooting at home. He's been terrible shooting on the road. He's the guy, if you're going to leave somebody, he's going to be the guy that they dare to shoot and beat them with his jumper from three. The Celtics can't let those double teams turn into lazy closeouts, can't let those turn into drive-in kicks, can't let those turn into reaching for, you know, and creating fouls, because it'll be very, very easy, if the Celtics are not careful, for Philly to start driving and drawing fouls and getting into the penalty early and racking up points when they shouldn't be racking up points. So the Celtics have to be mindful of that. The number one thing to me for them in this series is respect Philly's shooters. Respect those shooters and understand, as I've said a million times before, if you can stop those shooters from being a major factor, it doesn't matter if Embiid goes off for 50. It doesn't matter if Embiid averages 50 in that series. You let him be that whatever he does, and I'm sorry, Daniel Theis, I'm sorry, Robert Williams, I'm sorry, Enes Kanter, if you guys get torched by Joel Embiid. But dear God, do not let Joel Embiid go out there and start threatening triple doubles, because Joel Embiid triple doubles will win them that series. Because if he's not only scoring, but rebounding and passing, then forget it. Then that's my second point, that Joel Embiid goes nuts. And it's not just that Embiid goes nuts, because he can put up big scoring nights and the Celtics can still win. But if Embiid is doing everything, if Embiid is drawing comparisons to Wilt Chamberlain and scoring and passing and rebounding and blocking shots, then forget it. Seriously, forget it. I don't think the Celtics, let me rephrase that. The Celtics will have to allow that to happen. Like, Embiid can go off. He will dominate scoring-wise. But the Celtics will allow him to become a passer and a triple-double threat with their defense. If they're lazy, if they're undisciplined, that's how Philly wins this series. Also, the other way that Philly wins this series is if Boston's shooting just fails them. There's going to be maybe a bad shooting night, but if the Celtics can't hit their shots, and part of that is if they devolve into like individual stuff. The Celtics' good shooting generally is hand in hand with a good ball movement game. So if the Celtics' three-point shooting is just, if it fails because they are just relying on pull-ups, if they just devolve into individual kind of like, hey, you know what? We got this, and so I'm going to go for mine, and I'm going to drop my 30, and I'm going to look good doing it because it's the playoffs. I need to get my, you know, my shoe deal money or, you know, this other ad or whatever. Like, if they start thinking about that, and I don't think that that's how they're going to be, but it's always possible. But if they start acting that way, then that's going to be a problem. The Celtics are going to win by moving the ball and defending. If their three-point shooting disappears on them, and it will disappear on them because they if they don't move the ball, they'll lose the series. I think there's a real threat. I really do believe there's a real threat that Philly can win this series. It's still a bad matchup for the Celtics, but because of the injuries, I still think the Celtics win this in six. I've said it. I think I said it in the last podcast with the other preview with Jay and Jam, but I still think it's Celtics in six. I still think Embiid has at least one game where he wins them a game, and I think there's one aberration game in there that's going to cost the Celtics, but I think it's going to be Celtics in six. It may be easier. It shouldn't be tougher, but it can be, and there's certainly a legitimate threat that the Sixers win this series. So if the Celtics don't take them seriously, this is going to be problematic. If the Celtics do take them seriously, the Celtics can make this an easy series. They certainly can. But they have to go out there and make this an easy series. It's up to them. We'll see. Game one, 6:30, Monday. I'll be here after the game with a post-game podcast. So fire your questions away during the game. I'll try to maybe answer them during the podcast. Use the hashtag LOCeltics on Twitter. That's where I'm going to get most of the questions, so please do that. And new listeners, if you're just joining, maybe you're a Philly fan. You want to check out the Locked On Celtics podcast for the other team's perspective. Go ahead and subscribe. Follow on Spotify. Those regular listeners, give it a 5-star rating and a good written review. And a reminder again, please buy my book. It's available for pre-order now wherever books are sold. The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. Search for that title where books are sold. Search for my name and pre-order it now for delivery in December. Thanks for listening, everybody. Playoffs are here. Let's rejoice and enjoy it. I'll be here Monday through Friday here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.